I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd, and today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
I'm doing very well.
Awesome. We had a little conference recap, and now it's time to get into each talk. So I'm really excited to talk to you about conference today.
Yay.
Also, we have today Rivka and Burke. How are you today, Burke?
Doing great. Back in the Pacific Northwest with some sunny fall weather and leaves changing, and it's gorgeous. So
awesome. And speaking of which, you were at a cabin in Montana, and I don't know if Aaliyah is still keeping up on the emails. Did you forward the email to the O'Neills about their cabin?
Maybe.
Probably not. Well, one of our wonderful listeners wrote a beautiful email, which I will send to you later today, Rivkin Burke, about how much time she has spent at a cabin in the same area of the country. And so hearing you talk about the cabin has brought back good memories from her. And we appreciate hearing from anyone who wants to get a hold of us and hearing your stories about General Conference or any comments you have about talks that have been given. So thank you for writing us, and I'll send that on to Rivkin Burke soon. And that brings us to Rivka. How are you, Rivka?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to talking to you about conference today as well. So welcome. Our first talk is going to be In the Path of Their Duty. I said that whole thing, and I didn't even say the name of the person who sent us that email. So it was Tracy. So Tracy, thank you for writing us. So I should have said that right off the top, but I apologize. Okay, so the talk today is In the Path of Their Duty by Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And I'm going to start with Aaliyah. Aaliyah, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Ooh, fundamental doctrine.
Aaliyah, how you say that as if it was a surprise. Wait, this is a new format.
Wait a second.
He's never done this before.
Surprise. Yeah. So my quote that I highlighted was, "Consider the eternal impact of the service rendered by these devoted disciples and the marvelous blessings promised to those who minister to children." And so that was the fundamental doctrine to me, because it just says that, like, there's eternal impact of the service that we do as disciples, and lots of marvelous blessings promise as well as we do that service.
Awesome. Right off the bat, I couldn't actually even find where that was in the talk. So can you give me some direction? We talk in middle end?
Near the end.
Near the end. I like to mark what you guys put as your fundamental doctrines. So I'm going to find that. Any examples of people in your life, Aaliyah, who are just these devoted disciples who are maybe not receiving the recognition that they deserve?
Well, you and Mom are good examples. Maybe other examples in closer physical proximity would be like my roommate or some of my friends who just do good and are good people and are followers of Christ, and they just live their lives that way, and there's not really any like big, I don't know, thing that happens because of that. They just do it.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. You can tell who's helping pay for her college. You know, she threw her name in the middle. No, I'm just kidding. I was also distracted while you were talking, because all I could think about is when you and your siblings were getting put to bed when you were children, and every night it was like the first time you had ever been put to bed. I was like, as if we haven't been doing this every night, the same routine for years and years. But anything you guys could do, not You not so much, but the other two especially, like anything you can do to get out of actually going to bed. Yeah. So nice. Sorry, I got totally distracted in memories there. All right. Well, we're going to move on to Burke. Burke, I know this talk was great. You really enjoyed it. It was touching for you. So tell me what your fundamental doctrine was.
All right. So I marked several, but I think this one here, which is actually Elder Bednar quoting Samuel the Lamanite. And he says, "Behold, that the more part of them are in the path of their duty, and they do walk circumspectly before God, and they do observe to keep his commandments and his statutes." And right before that, Elder Bednar actually says, "This summarizes my feelings for you." And I just thought it was really nice to be given some affirmation from Elder Bednar. Like, most of you are probably trying pretty hard, and that's not to say that we're perfect, but we are in the right path, going the right direction. So,
yeah. What does that phrase, in the path of their duty, mean to you, Burke?
Well, I feel like that there's a good portion of the talk after he says that, which describes what in the path of their duty. But for me, it really means keeping the gospel fundamentals forefront on a daily basis, and then following what the Spirit tells you to do.
Hmm. I like that. Following what the Spirit tells you to do. That's in the path of their duty. I didn't put those two together necessarily. I just sort of thought of trudging along the last wagon in line, as he refers to earlier, but I really like that. Anyone in your life that's in the path of their duty that doesn't get a lot of recognition, that needs more?
I think probably most of the people I know that are good examples to me would put themselves in this position if you ask them.
You know, yeah.
They'd say, "I'm just a regular person trying to do my best, and I'm not perfect." And they would talk about people they look up to, but they don't know that they are also an example. So,
right. Yeah. I love that. I feel like, what you said about sort of affirming that a lot of people are just doing the best they can and maybe don't feel like superstars or anything, but they're just, you know, going through life, following their covenants. I think there's a lot of people like that in the church. And yeah, it's probably true. They wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, you know, think about when you were the bishop, for instance, how often did problems get fixed that you never knew about, that were fixed by a ministering brother or sister or one of the other auxiliaries? I mean, there's so much of that that goes on, and that's really why things work.
Yeah, 100%. And I had very capable adult leadership in the ward, elders quorum, relief siding, and so on. So a lot of stuff with the adults I never heard about and knew about. And just, you know, I spent so much time on the youth. So, and those people are just amazing, devoted disciples doing their thing. And yeah, no one's shouting their name from the rooftops, but they are appreciated. Okay, Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
As I was listening to this, this was like the point in this talk that was the message for me. In the very next paragraph, it's continuing the quote that Burke just started reading from Samuel Lamanite. He says, "Yea, I say unto you that the more part of them are doing this, and they are striving with unwearied diligence that they may bring the remainder of their brethren to the knowledge of the truth." And when he said that, my mind focused on the word unwearied. And in the midst of a new calling that's a leadership calling again, and I, despite the fact that I seem to keep finding myself in these leadership messes, I am not someone who's inclined toward administration or being in charge. And so I was feeling wearied with another call a little. And so I was like, oh no, I'm supposed to be doing this unwearied, and I'm feeling very wearied. And immediately the Spirit said to me, he didn't say the people were unwearied. He said their diligence was unwearied. And I spent the rest of the talk contemplating that, that the diligence, the, you know, consistent, I don't know, earnest, what is it, persistent maybe attitude about doing something or willingness to do something, even through physical weariness or through aching hearts, because we have, you know, the Lord asks us to serve and do things even when our lives are not what we want them to be. or our testimonies are not as strong as we'd like them to be. And so I was thinking about these people pulling up the end, that they, you know, they had to have been exhausted and hungry and going, you know, having needs that were not being met in the moment. But they continued on the path diligently. The diligence was unwearied, even if their persons or their spirits sometimes, or their hearts are unwearied or are wearied. So that was a lesson for me, that in doing all of this that we do, it's not like we have, sometimes I think when we're asked to do things by the Lord in a consistent manner, sometimes we trade the word consistent for constant. And we think we have to be doing this all day, every day, all the time. But consistent just means with regularity and, you know, in a pattern that helps us develop who we are. And so whatever pace it is, we are able to do these things if our willingness to serve and do what we can, or like what Burke said, what the Spirit asks us to do, if that is what's consistent and that is what is unwearied, then that's what he asks. That's what the people he is giving all of these props to are doing.
Awesome. So unwearied being applied to the word diligence. So not that you're not tired sometimes,
yeah.
Just that you keep going, even when you are feeling tired. Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah. You know, that the heart is willing, but the flesh is weak is a real thing that we deal with a lot.
True.
And so I think, as always, it's the direction that we're focused and that we're walking, rather than the pace or the frequency with which we are taking the steps.
Awesome. I love it. Aaliyah, what would Dory say about that?
She would say, just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. Yes, that's right. Just keep swimming. Sometimes that's all it takes. Well, I think my fundamental doctrine, we all, this three of us centered on this section on the path of their duty. I would say mine was right before that. Sometimes, this is probably admitting more of a personal failing, but sometimes, you know, you get stake high counselors who come and they say, like, I bring the love of the stake presidency. They love you. They appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I've heard it said like so many times that it doesn't always land for me. It doesn't feel, not that it isn't sincere, but it just feels like that it happens so often that it doesn't have as much meaning as I want it to have. Maybe that's just me and my cynicism. I don't know. But I really felt the sincerity behind these words from Elder Bednar when he said, your strong faith, and he's talking to all of us who are just doing our duty in the church. He said, your strong faith in Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and your unpretentious consecrated lives inspire me to be a better man and disciple. I love you. I admire you. I thank you. And I commend you. So that, I just really thought that was beautiful and touching, and it felt very sincere and heartfelt. And I appreciated that. And I believe it. You know, I believe that he can see more about the membership of the church than any of us will ever have the opportunity to see, given his leadership position. And so he knows the goodness that's out there among the general membership of the church. So that was beautiful. Aaliyah, let's go back to you. I think it would be helpful to go backwards a little bit to the beginning and maybe just give a little summary of this last wagon section and how it led into all these fundamental doctrines about just doing our duty and being devoted disciples in the membership of the church. Can you pull out anything from there that really stood out to you and that helps us understand where he was coming from?
Well, he's talking about a message from President Clark, and President Clark was talking about the disciples, the pioneers who were coming in like the last wagons. And so he says they pressed forward, worn and tired, foot sore, sometimes almost disheartened, but they, you know, they kept going. And so they weren't, like, their names aren't written down, they're not recorded in church history and saints or some other book anywhere. They're just kind of they just kind of did their thing and made it. And so President Clark was trying to give kind of some recognition to that. And so I think the tie in there with the rest of Elder Bednar's talk is that we don't always get recognition for what we're doing, but that doesn't mean it's less valuable, or later he says less serviceable. So,
yeah. And that serviceable quote was from the Book of Mormon, and President Hunter gave it as an example. So Any specific quotes from either of these two sections on The Last Wagon or No Less Serviceable that you wanted to read?
Well, I did like that one about where did it go? I just saw it. They were like footsore and weary. Oh, here it is. And the rest of that quote says that they were born up by their faith, that God loved them, that their sore gospel was true, and that the Lord led and directed the brethren out in front. And I really like that because we can be both. Like, we can be tired and a little disheartened and still be faithful in God's love and the restored gospel, and follow the, you know, apostles of the Lord, believing that they are leading us to a good place out in front.
Awesome. I love it. He actually links in his footnotes to the talk, which was reprinted in the July 1997 Ensign. And did any of you read the talk, the original J. Reuben Clark talk?
Mm-mm.
I did not.
No. I also did not, but it's on my list. As I read through, I thought that would be a great thing to read through and really get a sense of the whole talk there. So I'm putting that down as an invitation that he didn't expressly give, but one that I'm going to accept. So I need you guys to hold me accountable next time we talk. Okay, well, let's go back to Burke. Burke, let's go on to these paths in the path of their duty. He goes on, you know, a long section here giving examples of that. Any of these examples really stand out to you or were meaningful to you?
Let's see. I marked down here where he says the phrase "in the path of their duty" describes righteous individuals who yearn to become yoked to the Savior through the authorized covenants and ordinances of his gospel, but may be prohibited from doing so by factors beyond their control. I always like it when and he probably sees a lot more of this than I do, but when there's acknowledgement made that we all have very different circumstances and we're not all in a position even to move forward in the gospel the way that we want to. And so I just really like the acknowledgement of varied circumstances.
Awesome. And I noted in this talk that he gave a lot of, well, not a lot, but his promises often were not attached to invitations. You know, he's the one who originated the whole doctrine, invitation, promise thing that we go with.
Yeah.
And he just gives promises because he basically is saying, well, you're already doing the invitation. So I loved the promise at the end of this paragraph that you just read. Yep. Burke, do you want to continue on?
Yeah. He says, I promise your personal anguish will be relieved and your obedience and faithfulness to patiently submit your will to God will be rewarded in the own due time of the Lord. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So yeah, I agree with you. It's such a great promise, and I don't like waiting for God's timing often, but it is still good to know that it's worthwhile.
Indeed. That was another theme I heard, was waiting for God's timing in this general conference. So awesome. Rivka, I think I forgot to ask you, because I was so caught up in your discussion of unwearied and how we apply that to diligence. Is there someone who has unwearied diligence in your life that goes unrecognized that you think of when you hear this?
I think my answer is the same as everyone else's. You know, when you're active in the church and you see so many people who are contributing in all kinds of ways all the time. But, you know, honestly, I think the ones that often I don't think about are the ones that just are the people who serve so consistently that it's normal. They're the ones who like consistently give you a hug when you walk in for sacrament meeting, or who are always saying hello, or just, you know, those ones, the people who see, have that gift of seeing people and seeing a need and connecting one by one. on very personal levels that appear, anything on that personal level appears really small from the outside. So, yeah, a lot.
Awesome.
I see a lot of people do it.
He talked about people like that just after the section where he quotes In the Path of Their Duty. Two paragraphs later, he says, I believe the phrase In the Path of Their Duty describes discerning brothers and sisters who look for and sit next to people who are alone in church meetings and in a variety of other settings. They consistently strive to comfort those that need stand in need of comfort without expectations of acknowledgement or praise.
Yeah.
So I like that. He brought that up.
Well, and that one's kind of magical too, because I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I've on a number of occasions have had someone come up and give me a hug and have I recognized as they were doing it that I needed the comfort of that hug and that acknowledgement, but I didn't know it before. So like they're recognizing that and meeting a need I didn't even know I had. That's magical to me.
Yeah, that's amazing. Any of these other paragraphs on the path of their duty that really stood out to you or were meaningful to you?
A lot of them, but maybe the one that I'll mention is this one. The phrase in the path of their duty describes the inspired translators and interpreters around the world who serve the Lord by helping friends and members to hear the fullness of the gospel in their own tongue and in their own language. And I think the reason this one sticks out to me is because I would not have put this on a list because I'm a native English speaker. And I never think about, like, it's just not natural for me to think about whether or not something that the church produces will be available in the language that I speak.
Right.
But reading that, and, you know, I think because I had done some research with the announcement that came out in the church news about the new hymn book that's coming out, and it's coming out kind of in phases, but it's going to be released as a whole thing in 2026, but only in like so many languages. And then by 2030, it would be available to all the languages in the church. Anyway, so I'm thinking about this. It's one of those things where I know I take this for granted. I don't even see it happening because it's not something that directly affects my life. But I have friends who do this. You know, one of my good friends, she is from India, and she translates conference talks and other things for the church into Hindi, which is, you know, one of her native tongues. So I know what goes on, but it's just not something that I think about because I never wait. I never have to wonder if it's going to be available or when it's going to be available in my language. So there are a whole group of people that go unrecognized by me constantly because I never think about it.
Awesome. This one really stood out to me too, Rivka. It just, I know they're out there. I've done some translation at the MTC, but it's just why he chose them. I don't know. It just really stood out to me that he chose them, and to acknowledge them was just a wonderful thing. So, let's go ahead to promises. And if you found any invitations, let's talk about invitations. And Aaliyah, we'll go back to you. What invitations or promises did you find?
Well, at the very end, he has this whole paragraph. It's less of an invitation, more of just like a statement of what we're already doing. But then it ends with a promise. So it says, you love and serve, listen and learn, care and console, and teach and testify by the power of the Holy Ghost. You fast and pray often, wax stronger and stronger in humility, and grow firmer and firmer in the faith of Christ. And then the promise is, unto the filling of your souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of your hearts. And so if we are trying to love and serve and listen and have the Holy Ghost and we're fasting and being humble, then we will be filled with joy and comfort and our hearts will be purified and sanctified.
Okay. How have you experienced that in your life, Aaliyah? That's a pretty comprehensive promise.
Yeah. It's like, if you do anything good, you will be happy. I think I specifically have found a lot of joy in humility as I have tried to be humble in the past and present. It has been a more joyful experience than you might think being humble would be, which makes sense because it's, you know, an attribute of Christ. So of course you'd be happier, but that I think is how I've seen that promise fulfilled.
Awesome. If people want to read more about those attributes of Christ, where should they go, Aaliyah?
Oh, well, interesting that you mentioned that. In the New Preaching Gospel, chapter 6, there are multiple Christ-like attributes mentioned and resources on how to learn more about them.
I love it. And I like that you talked about it as an attribute of Christ, because one of the promises here is we're sanctified. So joy, mm-hmm. yes, consolation, yes, but also purifying and sanctifying, just as Christ is pure and holy. So the more we become like him in his attributes, the more purified and sanctified we become. So awesome. Burke, how about you? Invitations or promises?
All right. So I think he probably, I felt this invitation in here quite a bit, but he only actually said it one time. And this is right after talking about the nursery leaders. He said, consider the eternal impact of the service rendered by these devoted disciples. But I think he's actually inviting us, or I felt invited, to look around me and be more cognizant of, kind of like Rivka said, all that stuff that's happening that you just don't think about, but where people are putting in real effort.
Awesome. In this context, he's talking about the primary leaders, but you're generalizing that to everybody around us, basically.
Yeah, and kind of all the things he listed in the talk.
Right. Yeah, we didn't go through every one, but he goes through all sorts of other people who are not getting recognized. And so he's asking us to consider all of them. So I love that.
Yep.
Rivka, how about you? Any invitations or promises?
I mean, one giant invitation to be in the path of your duty, I guess.
Yes, I agree.
I don't know. I feel like I don't really have any specific ones.
Okay. That's totally fine.
I don't.
I think he gave a giant promise at the end to go in with that invitation to be in the path of your duty. The second to last paragraph, he says, and as the Lord has promised, all thrones and dominions, principalities and powers shall be revealed and set forth upon all those who've endured valiantly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's a mighty promise. All thrones and dominions, all principalities and powers. So that's pretty impressive. We went over this at length in our recap, but we sort of half jokingly and all lovingly sometimes refer to our Bednar index, which is how convicted we feel after a talk. Burke, what do you think it was about this talk that sort of flipped that on its head and was so encouraging, even though really, he is still inviting us to do stuff, but what made it so encouraging, do you think?
I also felt like you did when he said that he was expressing his love and admiration. I just felt the love, and it's not that he doesn't usually love us or he doesn't want what's best for us most of the time, but I don't know if I've always felt that from. So in this case, because that was early in the talk, I think the rest of it, I just kind of felt like he was saying, you know, I see you. And even if you struggle, God sees you too. So,
yeah. And he doesn't just see you, but you're doing a good job, even if you don't think you are. Just wrestling your kids at church on Sundays, yep. as he refers to, is in the path of your duty and doing a good job. So, yeah, this is quite a beautiful, uplifting talk. And I really loved it. The next talk we're going to discuss is Abide the Day in Christ by Sister Amy A. Wright, a first counselor in the Primary General Presidency. In the meantime, Aaliyah is going to tell you how you can get a hold of us.
You can email us, like so many have done, at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message us on Facebook and Instagram.
It's actually really not that many, so please email us, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. Well, thanks for joining us today, everyone. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.